Today, of course, is Divine Mercy Sunday. And when our Holy Father John Paul the Great proclaimed today Divine Mercy Sunday, there were some who reacted by saying, well, the devotion to the Divine Mercy is a popular devotion. And we're dealing here with the eighth day of Easter. How can we possibly distract ourselves from the completion of our Easter celebration with a popular devotion? And those who said that frequently added, this is going to get everyone mixed up. But I suppose they must do things like that in Poland. They do things like that in Poland. And those things make great sense. On Palm Sunday, we heard the Passion account of Luke, including the account of Jesus' pardon of the good thief. This day, Jesus says, you will be with me in paradise, knowing all of the sins of the good thief. This day, you will be with me in paradise. And I said on Palm Sunday, the theme of this week is mercy, period. On Holy Thursday, what do we see? Jesus' body is broken and his blood is poured out so that sins may be forgiven. The whole point of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection was mercy. And if somebody is still not convinced, as we complete the Easter celebration, we see Jesus today in the upper room, breathing on his apostles, whom he ordained as priests, and with whom he concelebrated on Holy Thursday night, we see him breathing on his apostles and saying, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. Thomas, in that very dramatic moment, recognizes Jesus as my Lord and my God. But Jesus has another point that he wants to make on this first Easter night, and that point is once again about mercy, the forgiveness of sins. This is not Divine Mercy Sunday because John Paul the Great said it is. John Paul the Great proclaimed this Divine Mercy Sunday because it is. Because the whole unifying theme, the whole unifying focus of Holy Week and Easter Week is the focus on mercy. I might use that word focus a lot today because it makes some people happy. Going to have a lot of things today that focus. The whole focus is on divine mercy. That's why today is Divine Mercy Sunday. Nothing in the world could make more sense. And indeed, it's important that all faithful followers of Jesus Christ take a moment during Holy Week and Easter Week to remember that the focus of all of this was mercy. Had there been no sins to be forgiven, there would have been no need for Jesus to take flesh, to suffer, to die, and to rise. It was all for mercy. It was all for the forgiveness of sins. And what does that have to do with us? We have to realize that there is no sin which cannot be forgiven except the sin against the Holy Spirit. And the sin against the Holy Spirit is likely the sin of refusing the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will never take away our free will. And if we use that free will to refuse his forgiveness, well then how can we be forgiven? How can we be forgiven? But anybody who from his heart or her heart seeks forgiveness can be forgiven. Apart from refusing forgiveness, no other sin is so great that it can't be forgiven. That's what the world today cannot believe. Too many young people, too many college students, believe deep down that they can't be forgiven, that they are not worthy of forgiveness. And for them and for so many others, to believe in the resurrection means to believe that I can possibly be forgiven. That's where the power of the resurrection wants to rush upon their soul and give them new life. When they feel trapped, when they feel that they can no longer be forgiven. And then our country and our culture have sins that they believe cannot be forgiven. Like smoking. I say it as one who was never a smoker. But I wouldn't presume to make smoking the unforgivable sin. Driving under the influence of alcohol, that's another unforgivable sin. It's a sin. If people do that, they should pay whatever penalty our justice system demands. I'm not talking about that. But people who drive under the influence ought to be forgiven. The law has to do something about that. But they should be forgiven. And even those guilty of sexual misconduct with minors should be forgiven. The penalties of the criminal law need to be exacted upon them. That's the way life is in terms of taking consequences for what one has done in this world. That's the way that goes. We don't suspend the criminal law. But forgiveness is another matter. Remember, John Paul the Great immediately forgave the one who tried to kill him. Immediately. But John Paul the Great did not ask that he not serve a prison sentence. John Paul the Great rendered to Caesar what belonged to Caesar and to God what belonged to God. But this raging that's going on now in certain news media, stirring up of hatred against priests who committed this heinous crime, and against bishops and against the Holy Father himself, is way over the top. Heinous crimes ought to be punished through our system of justice. I don't question that, and no one should. But the forgiveness that comes from the heart is another matter. There is no one from whom we are dispensed from forgiving. No one. No one. That's what the world can't believe, and in some ways the world doesn't want to believe it, because in some ways the world wants scapegoats. And they want scapegoats frequently because those scapegoats fit in with the political agenda of the world. The system of justice, yes. That someone cannot be forgiven, no. No matter who it is and no matter what they've done. The only one who can't be forgiven is the one who uses his or her free will to reject forgiveness. Everybody else can be forgiven. As John Paul the Great said, the arms of Jesus on the cross reach out to everyone, even the worst sinner that one could ever imagine. John Paul the Great said, perhaps the worst one, even the worst one, didn't know what he did. So, Father, forgive him. That's the infinite mercy of Jesus. And that's the good news that we have for individuals who give up on themselves. I'm trapped and I can't get out. That's the good news we have. That's the good news we have for our world. And our faith in the resurrection is precisely all about that overflowing abundance of mercy. Is it real or isn't it? Do I believe in it or don't I? The doubting Thomases have a problem believing that God is as generous as he is in mercy and forgiveness. That's really their problem. And it's your witness and mine. Remember, we're defined as witnesses to the resurrection. It's your witness and mine that can make the difference so that the overflowing mercy of God can be received by people and by the world. And if that could happen, imagine the world would be a more merciful place. The world is a pretty merciless place right now. Imagine if it were a place of mercy, the way God intended from the beginning. And all of that is up to you. And the power with which you allow Jesus to help you witness to his resurrection, which is always a witness to his overflowing abundance of mercy. Praise be Jesus Christ.